I say they were weakling. And this woman was here. She told me, because I was her cheerleader, I was her business lady. She was cursing one of the chairmen. I said, why are you so bitter? And she downed the union with something I won't stand for, you know. So she told me that, he says, there, I want you to go to the local meeting and remember, I'll take you home. And she says, I shivered so, but I didn't go. And the next day, all my work was rotten, and I was suspended, and the trouble they gave her. Now, I mean, guess what happened?
Yeah. Well, so you went back to Hartshaft and Markson after the strike, and you were involved in Local 39 then.
Yes, I was on the executive board, I was on the joint board, I was on the grievance board.
Now, were you first elected to, were you elected for the local over or from as a delegate to the joint board?
I was elected from the local, mm-hmm. to the local election. I held every office.
When were you first elected? Do you remember?
I was elected, I think it was in 1918, the first.
And that was for the joint board?
Yes. I think that was in 1918.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about the war, because I came across, here are all of these editorials,
yes.
against the war, against the war, against the war. Then suddenly Frank Rosenblum gets drafted,
yes.
and there are big parties and everyone's a patriot.
But me.
So I want you to tell me a little bit more about that. Yes. How did you feel it when there suddenly the Union that had been against the war shifted and everyone's going off
well,
in the
I
army?
I told you what happened. You see, what happened was this. They came to urge the members to buy Liberty Bonds. And not only did I refuse to buy Liberty Bonds, but I spoke against it.
Now, this was at Hartshaft and Markson?
Yes. That was 1917, 17.
17, yes.
You see, so the manager advised me to get the hell out of there.
The general manager?
Sam Levine. So I had no other alternative. I thought to myself, well, I'd rather die than do things against my principle. I just didn't But I thought I'd try some other place, anyways. So, you talk about anarchy. Okay. This is the irony. How can one account for this incident, accident, whatever you want to call it? I get out and march in the market and I go into. It's too bad that my younger sister died. She worked for him too, after that. Long as I was here, rather than she was working for him. His name was Goldman. I came up to the place and they gave me a garment. I was basing on more this time. And I said, fine, I will accept it. Very good. Then they gave me a uniform. I said, I can't make it. I don't know how to do it. Are you crazy? It's the same thing, only the color is different. I can't do it. He called me in the office. He says, listen, I know what you're up to. I'm surprised, this is an Italian woman. How old was I in 1918?
26, something like that.
I said, I can't do it. He said, I'll let you go. He said, but be careful. I didn't know who he was, but I found out later that he was an anarchist.
Now, was this a union shop, though?
Yes. Sure, it was a union shop.
But he was still, I mean, even though he was an anarchist, he was still making uniforms in his shop.
Yeah. See? Well, so what am I to do now? So I had a sister living in Youngstown, Ohio. Well, I go there, see what's doing down there. I couldn't stay in the city. I had a lot of books on socialism and anarchism. And that time around, the IWW was out. I left everything and I went to Youngstown. Maybe I'd get something in a small shop. And I had a name for flowers. I had one quarter to my name and I bought a rose. My last quarter, but my sister provided me with room and board. She didn't charge me anything. I went looking, looking for work. I got a job. I got a job then. No uniforms. Now I get a telegram from my younger sister that my mother is sick. And there were all of them. They were still all alive. They were all alive yet. But my sister, younger sister, was still single. I should come home. I get a telegram. Mother is sick. I came home. I had saved up a few dollars there. I took my mother to Dr. Greer, who was a socialist. He used to give us lectures on hygiene. And I knew him personally, an old-time socialist. And he discovered that she had diabetes. He wanted to play with me. Another one. He set me on his lap. And he said, sir, you're bitter like a flower. He said, you're young. He said, I said, doctor, you're so right. I know. I know. I said, doctor, but you know one thing I'm going to tell you. Don't. I said, you draw you that. I don't know how it came to me, but he shut me up. But the thing that I put up with in my days. You talk about modernism, what was it different? It wasn't any opener than it is today, that's all. They're more frank today than they were in those days, but they're there. Anyways, so I went back to Rochester, Max.
Was the war over? The war was still on then.
I came back, the war was still on, but I went back to Rochester, Max anyways. The war was over in 1918. I got those things marked down. It was raining, and my sister was there. We were, and there was a false alarm. Anyways, I became chairlady.
This was right.
Yeah,
right. Right after right in that period.
Yeah.
Now that first convention in 1918, you didn't go to that convention.
No. 1920 was my first convention.
Now, so in 1918, up to this time, you were a union member, but you still weren't really.
No, I didn't get hold of it completely. Is that it? From 1918 to 1920.
That's when it really.
Oh, that's where I blossomed out.
Okay. Now, Sarah, about the war, did any other people refused to work on uniforms or refused
not
to buy
bonds? Not that I know.
So once the union position shifted,
yeah,
everyone went along with that.
Yes. Were all the officers, they preached for, not for the war, but for liberty bonds.
Well, I came across all these how proud they were that the amalgamated of all the unions were buying the most bonds. And
well, that's what they preached for liberty, not for the war. They sent packages for the soldiers and all. You see, now, I personally, I'll never forget that I cried all night. I had no immediate, my brothers weren't affected by it. I had two brothers. I've got one who's going to be 83 the 5th of this month. Just talked to him. Sunday I call him once a month, like a month. I cried all night. that was after a meeting I attended with Clarence Darrow. And I lost all my confidence in him, because he was for the war. McDonald from England was for war, and I could never figure it out. In Germany, 12 million Union people for war. I must have been crazy, because I must have been crazy.
Now, about this time, this was before Kate Richards O'Hare was arrested,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
She used to come to Chicago and talk,
didn't
she?
I used to attend her meeting. It's such a long time ago. So anyways, after 1918, I became, none of the Mooney trial, Ponte said, the leadership said, you have a general strike, pull out the people. I was Shirley the other day. And they withdraw the men to walk out. I stopped by the first. And I pulled them out.
That was the one that was supposed to be on July 4th or something?
I don't remember the date, but I'm telling me what happened on Mooney's. See, I went against. I don't know. I just followed my own dictates, not theirs. So how could they like me? I don't know what I can. They say, 9 times out of 10, I was right and they were wrong. At least that I will die thinking that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sarah, this is towards the end of 1918. You went back to the shop, to Hart, Schaffner & Marx, and you became the chairlady, and you were elected to the joint board right around then, too.
Yeah.
And now this is when the big organizing drive started, isn't it?
1919.
Now, what was your role in that big drive?
No, nothing. I didn't participate much. I used to attend meetings, mm-hmm. Those. There were, that time they had already set up an organization department, there were others. I didn't do anything.
So you stayed in Hart, Schaffner & Marx during that drive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me on the joint board what used to happen. Were you the only woman on the joint board when you were first elected?
No, we were, let me see how. It's so hard to. I think I was. The joint board, you know, the joint board consists of every local has a representative there. Oh, there were, according to the amount of membership from the local, if a local had 500 members, every 100 members are delegates. So we had 3 delegates, I think.
That's from local 39 stuff.
39 had 10 delegates. I don't remember whether I was delegate in 39. I'll show you the. No, I think I was from 39. Yes, sure, I was.
Yeah, because you were a delegate before the women's local was formed, weren't you?
Nope. Mm-mm. I was in 1920.
I mean, not a delegate, on the joint board.
On the joint board. I was a delegate to the joint board in 1924. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was elected from 39 after a protest, you see, when every woman was defeated and when we organized the women's local. See, then they decided to give me the honor to be a delegate from 39.
What would happen when you ran for the joint board? There'd be a meeting of the local? How would you run exactly?
From the local. Every local has an election.
Would there be a meeting before the election?
Yes.
Where you made speeches and things, or what?
Well, you nominate. You have a nomination, then you have election. You elect delegate to the German board. The German consists of every local sends a delegate to the German. Now they have regional joint board. It's so different now. They have no meeting, they have no advance, you know. A couple of months ago I chided them, I scolded them, I hollered blood and water because they stopped sending the advance to the retired people. Well, they came back. Frank Rosenblum was here and I highly so much at the entire meeting. I don't go very often, but I did go just to...
just to cause some trouble.
Well, I was always a troublemaker.
Now, Sarah, at the 1918 convention, there was a resolution. This was in 1918. Their women's department be formed, and it was supposed to go be considered by the General Executive Board. And nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Now, did you know about that resolution at that time?
No, I wasn't quite aware of it. See, I started later on, 1920s, when I became full of fire.
So you're up at like 1919, you were just really getting...
It began to dawn on me what it is all about as far as the women were concerned. Up to that time, I was beginning to be class conscious, more class conscious, you see. And I took everything literally, what the leadership taught me. I took everything literally, like I took the brujas. That's how I took them. I changed from one religion to another. See, until I was able to crystallize, to take out what's what, and analyze things more intelligently. It took me, that's why I live so long, because it takes me a long time to... it takes me a long time to analyze things.
So during this period is really when you were beginning to wake up to what was going on, though.
Yes, I realized before that, because I caused a lot of trouble in the shop. See, after that time, before we became real strong, we did underhanded things. You putting it down, I don't care.
Well, that's part of the kind of history you made, though.
Yeah. But, for instance, we had specifically written in the agreement, no stoppages. For when I see that the examiner or through the shop chairman or the business agent is abusing a worker, although I wasn't anything, maybe this is before I became an officer, if I saw there was something wrong, I would instigate and I would find one confidential person, maybe two, and nobody would ever find out who it was. They make stoppages, see? To improve conditions, whatever it was, whether it was concerning price or condition. I used to do that before I did that unconsciously. Not, I knew it was wrong.
Why do you think it was wrong?
But this, because the worker was abused.
No, I mean, why do you... Oh, you thought that... I thought you meant that you thought that the stoppages were wrong.
No, I instigated it. This was when the Russian Revolution broke out. We weren't very strong in 1917. There was a full lady, I can see her face before me, and I can see this Russian, ignorant, Jewish girl, and she had a face like a cow. Lillian. I remember her name. And she was facing animals, and so was I. And that fall lady got after her. that poor girl stuck her finger and she was bleeding like a... I couldn't stand it. Now, I was nobody. Absolutely nobody. But I did have a smothering realization that I was going to socialist meeting. It was after the 1915 strike, after the 1910 strike. I was still very religious, by the way. But I worked on Saturdays already. I got a hold of that fool in me, physically. I says, hey, here's the scissors, why don't you kill her at once? You want everybody to walk out? She started to shiver herself. And she laid off of her. Now, there was a chairman, he wouldn't dare to do it. It's against the union rule. So I made my own rules. You see what I mean? These are the chances, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you feel that the unions, that the union gave up a lot when they agreed in the basic agreement to not have stoppages, to not have walkouts? Do you think they lost a lot of the basic power of the workers?
No, they couldn't help it. You see, I look at it from the system under which we live. And I often say that I'm down to earth, but I'm an idealist. I'm not saying you need pie in the sky. Work toward that goal, but recognize what you're faced up to, David. Now, when this Watergate business come up, isn't it horrid? The teapot dome pales before this. I'll show you, I scribbled, I gave my opinion. I don't want a revolution now. Do you? Do you want a revolution? Do you want Nixon to be impeached? I hate his guts. I don't want him to be impeached. I don't want bloodshed. I don't like bloodshed. I'm not for bloodshed. If you're in a social revolution without bloodshed, how can you have it? I know all these things. I realize all that. Well, I'm pleading, hoping that the workers throughout the world will get together and come to some common ground, common understanding. Quit this greediness. Quit this suffering. There's enough for everybody to fill their stomach. To get rid of him won't help any. As I say, express myself, it's not Nixon, the man that I care, give a damn about. He was crooked with Helen Cahagan Douglas, and I happen to know Helen Cahagan Douglas. I had quite a discussion with her, and I told her then, I was having breakfast with her. I said, look, with one stroke of the pen, all these goodies that Franklin Delano could be done away with, it takes the workers as a whole, not only in this country, but the world over. She said, you're a dreamer. I said, I'm a dreamer, but I'm down to earth. I belong to this union. It was at the convention somewhere. I'm drifting, am I?
Well, Sarah, how did you become the chair lady that first time then at Hart, Chapman and Marx?
I was elected. The people elected.
And was it mainly among the women, or was it?
No, there was many.
It was like for the whole floor?
The whole floor.
So how many people did that mean usually?
About 300 at that time. It was about 300-400. Then later on became head chair lady, a couple of thousand people.
So that was all the floors?
Yes, three floors.
Now, when you became head chair lady, you still had your job at the machine?
Yes, and I worked piecework. That's it, you see. See, what they instituted, even in my days, is the man chairman. I didn't want it. They used to do the work for him. I didn't allow it. I did my own work.
Oh, the other workers would, you mean?
Yeah, the other workers would make the work for him. While he was taking up complaints, I didn't know.
Oh.
I did my own work. and then took care of everything. I took care of the people first, and then I did my work. So I had it all along. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, it was a very difficult thing. And I'll show you a record, but I gave up when they killed me because they were afraid that I knew too much here already in this city. My earnings went up from 3,000 a year to 5,000. I didn't have this. No, this was my life all the way through. But I never, there isn't a moment in my life that I regretted. See, I didn't want people to do my work for me. Another thing, they would get paid for lost time, for this, that. I resented. I'm satisfied as long as they paid my dues for me. I even thought that. I just wanted to be, I was an extremist, in other words. And that's why they didn't like me. See, they wanted to do things for me. I could have gotten much. And I would never have to sit at the machine if I just wanted to go along with it. I didn't see it that way. Like I read it in one of the magazines, just, I think one of the socialist papers. I don't know why, I know where I got it. They become so fat, they don't know that it'll look at it. Mm. Means anything.
Well, when you became, before you became chairlady, was the previous chairperson a man?
Pardon?
On your floor? When you first became chairlady at Hart Schaffner Marx,
yeah.
Was the previous chairperson a man?
Yeah.
So you were the first chairlady there on that floor then?
Yeah.
And then, did you run against a man, or they just pick a person?
No. There was a competition. Always there was always competition. There was competition when I was running for business agent. Oh my. And when I was running for business agent, this was in 1921. See, the top, from the top down, they were against me, with leadership. And I told you that I wasn't elected by the women. But what happened after this? This is the difference. After I was elected, a group of pocket makers, the House of the Marsh, came into my office. Sir, we elected you. We want you to do things for us. I said, what do you want me to do? You want to make a living? I said, sure, I want everybody to make a living. Well, our section is overcrowded. Take a couple people out. I said, look here, brothers. If you wanted somebody like that, you had Kaminsky, you had Oscar Alford, why did you vote for me? You voted for me because you knew that I was on the up and up. Isn't that right? Yes. Well, get the hell out of here. Don't elect me next time. Now you see what happened there? You see how the mind of the average worker is. That's number one. The other thing, the section that I left when I retired, this section was built up by women. It was all of women's sections, it was done by women by hand. I told you, I took so many of them. I pleaded with them, don't leave them. They were offered $200 to leave the job. I said, don't do it. Stick it through. I was at school. Everyone was taken out. And they were left hanging there. They said. I mean, they just, there wasn't that understanding. There wasn't that What can you call it? What did you call it? Psychologically. It says the desire, the want, it's a greed.
Mm-hmm.
Take the $200. They did that with the colors, that was something else. And they put in the machines from hand shears. $500. But then they took them back, you see. As soon as work became more plentiful, they took them back. But these women were left scattered. Some of them are out here.
Mm.
This woman that was seeing me yesterday, Sunday, was one of them.
Well, Sarah, as chair lady, is that when you began to feel that the women needed their own local? What made you think about a woman's local, the separate
when
local?
The women were defeated in 1920, when 7 women from different locals, every one was defeated.
Was this for the joint board or for the...
To the convention, to the Boston Convention. And we had an organizer, a woman, Nettie Richardson. I think she's mentioned
mm-hmm.
numbers. I lost track of her after she became a communist. I couldn't see eye to eye with them. I think I told you the reason why. She was a great help. And then there was a Russian intellectual woman, what's her name, I don't remember. She was in the education department. She also was of great help to us. And I started howling bloody murder. I said, we are the majority, and I howled my head off.
Was this at the...
At local meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Local meetings, individuals. We made a collection, we had leaflets printed.
What did the leaflet say?
Women come to a meeting. Let's protest against these injustices. And I pointed out that every woman was defeated. And these women that were defeated, they didn't give a damn. And they make him over, gave him a pat, and took him out or something. So that's when the local was born, in 1920. Now, it's dissolved.
When did it dissolve?
This last 2 years ago.
Is that local 275?
Yeah.
Now, did the idea partially come... By this time, there was already a woman's local in Rochester, wasn't there?
That's not in existence, either. See, but I used to go on my own. As I say that, I don't know where in the hell I got the nerve. When I think back, you know, after all, I used to write to, there was a member on the General Executive Board, Mimi Santora. Did you come across her? She used to write to her. I'd meet with her. I think I got a letter from her. She says, Hillman knows better. You don't need a woman's bureau.
I was going to, because in reading, Dorothy Jacobs was the one who would bring things to the conventions. She would bring things to the General Executive Board about women. But when Mamie Santora was elected, she never said anything at all about the women.
No. She was, she was a nice girl, never married, no nothing.
Well, so there was some example, though, that there had been in the other cities, there were some examples of women's locals at the time
Now, here, there's a woman here, Sadie Goodman. She was business agent in Rochester. She's here, by the way. She's in Los Angeles.
How old is she?
She's 81.
Well, maybe I can try and interview her, too. She was a business agent in Rochester?
Yeah. I don't know whether she'll want to be interviewed. themselves. Yeah.
And they didn't get elected. So the idea started about getting a separate women's local.
Yeah.
And the idea was that by a separate women local, women would begin
then to... Then they have to have delegates. They have to have a business agent. See, that's what happened. That's what I wanted. I wanted to make room. And I vowed then, I should never... I stated it, and I've got that scribbled down somewhere. I'm going to show you someday the difference in my scribbling from the time when I was sitting at the trade board, how I was a business agent. Well, that's, the bosses were no different with the exception of Harchev Namath. I'm going to show you something that you realize why I feel that my life is worth to be made note of. It should be recorded someplace, because it'll be nice reading, interesting reading.
It will. Now, and it'll give women some pride.
Yes, it'll give human beings some pride. Some laugh, some cries, you know, real life. At least that's the way I feel. Maybe I take things on my own. I build a little store for myself. You see, every local has a prerogative to have their own delegate, their own business agent. And when I saw that they were so ruthless, so indifferent to the biggest part of the organization, how can they stand by it and ignore it? I, as an illiterate nonentity, made such a horrible ruin, I brought it about. And there will never be a convention without women representation anymore. It isn't what I wanted, but still, it will not be without representation.
What, did you feel that the women's local should be a temporary thing to give women a wedge, or?
Well, I didn't think it would be a temporary. I thought that it would develop into a larger sphere. Like I figured that the pilot that I introduced in the Los Angeles joint board would flicker, would give an awakening to the general organization, that to educate the members from within, not wait when a crucial moment comes like they have in Texas now. Mm-hmm. Plus, as I think my views are long gone, that when people will have a better understanding, less greed and all that. But for the time being, prepare them. Don't wait until you're faced with it. I thought that it would start, and instead, unfortunately, see, some of it remained. I don't think my work was entirely lost. In fact, I don't think anything was lost. My name is not there, I don't give a damn. But now, I feel that it should be made known to some.
What, did other women, did the other six women work with you on it, or they didn't care?
Some. Of course, I didn't do it alone. No. I told you, first of all, there was Mary Richardson. And then, of course, if they would have insisted too much, like some of these, for instance, then I couldn't have accomplished it. He had to consent. And then I paid him back the other way. that's another story.
What happened? So you called this meeting then, and this was right. This was before the 1920 convention, or after?
This was before the 19. We collected money. We made enough money to send a temporary delegation. What do you call them?
Oh, sort of observers.
Not observers. They had a name for it. I can't think of it. Anyway, we sent about 3 or 4 that went there as representatives. Anyway, to the Boston Convention. See, we collected enough money. We held meetings, we made parties, we made luncheons. This from January to May, we worked on it. I think it's genuine.
How many women showed up at the first meeting you called from the leaflet? Do you remember?
In the leaflet, there was over 200. Oh, there was quite a few, quite a few. There was 49 South Horses, see, that in the middle of the place.
And what... Were they from different locals, or were most of them from Local 39?
No, they were from different.
They were from different locals.
Coatmakers mostly. Those that worked in the coatmaker shop.
Now, who ran that first meeting?
I don't know if I remember. I think it was Nettie Richardson. I think it was Nettie Richardson. Of course, I was always there.
Did you let the officers right away or you didn't elect officers right away?
We elected these temporary delegates at the convention.
Now, you were one of those delegates, though.
No, I was called into Local 39. They wanted to buy me off. I took the money from them, see? I was paid by Local 39 as a delegate.
You went as a Local 39 delegate?
Yeah. You see how rotten they were. I took advantage of it. I left then, and I still left. Because I wasn't elected. But they made me feel that I was elected, because they paid me, I remember what it was, $200, $300.
But you weren't elected by the local to go.
No, I was defeated as well as the rest of them.
That's what confused me, because I came across that you were a delegate from Local 39.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So they paid your way to the convention then?
Oh, sure. But see, I was with the temporary elected delegate.
Now, was there trouble getting a charter from the union for the Local 275?
No. We paid the fee, and as I say, if Sam Levine would have put his foot down, probably we could have gotten it. He was the manager of the Chicago Joint Board. He was fatherly. He was, from a human point of view, I liked him much better than, as a human being, I liked him better than Frank. Mm. But I admired Frank's intellect better than Sam. See, I knew them all.
Yeah.
So it's Sunday, I'm going to tell you what happened between the two of them at the Boston Convention.
Now tell me what happened at the convention. In terms of the women?
Well, nothing spectacular. Nothing outstanding.
So the 4 temporary delegates went from Local 275.
I remember it was 4 or 5 women.
And then you went. You were the only women from Chicago.
No, we were 5 or 6. But there was Clara. It's hard. Maybe I have the proceedings. I don't know.
Now, how about from other cities? Were there women from other cities?
Yes. There were some women from other cities. Yes. We had meetings, but I don't remember the details. I was more interested. I was playing poker all night, drinking. I was alive. I wasn't. Let's see, what committee was I on? I was on education. No.
There was a committee on women's organizations that...
I wasn't on there. They didn't put me on there.
Oh, they had you listed on there.
Did they? Well, I must have been... I wasn't there. Maybe
yeah.
I wasn't. I don't remember. Yeah, it's, after all, it's what is it, 40 years ago?
So you don't remember anything about the women's committee?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, let me
see if I can find it. I don't remember, unless I look at the records. Yeah, I don't remember everything. I haven't got everything in my mostly my subconscious mind.
Here, there was a committee on women's organizations, and Mamie Santoro was the head of it.
Oh, yes, I recall.
And there were 8 of you all together, and you were one, and you were listed as Local 39.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say what the committee was supposed to do.
She was a deadbeat.
So the committee didn't really do anything?
No. That's why I don't remember. No, she wasn't much help. I went to Baltimore